Good morning again. Are you ready to hear a story? You want a big story or a short story? The shorter the better, right? I'm not saying this story because there's elections that's happening in this part of the land or place. Today's title is "We Always Thank God for You," and we thank God for the opportunity that God has given to us. You know, the story goes like this. It's about a doctor, an engineer, and also a politician. You know, three of them got together. You know, some of the top positions, doctor, engineer, and the politicians, they got together. And so they were arguing within themselves, you know, which is the oldest profession. You know, all these learned guys were just sitting down and having a discussion. It almost like became an argument. So the physician started by saying, you know, physician's job or profession is the oldest because humanity cannot survive. And so we are the ones who are actually helping humanity. So that's the oldest profession. Then the engineer said, no way. It's no way. Because life began in a complete mess or chaos. It was very chaotic, right? And so an engineer took time to create and brought order to the chaos. Then the politicians came and said, you know, you mean to say that you bring order to the chaos? Yes, we brought order to the chaos, so we are the oldest profession. And the politician said, who created the chaos? In other words, we are the ones who created the chaos. You know, today we live in a world that we boast about our, you know, we are so happy, right? So excited that, you know, about our accomplishments, the things that we achieve in life. And we, you know, in this part of the world, we use the word drag, you brag about it, right? In other words, you speak so proudly about this. You know, I've achieved this, as if others have not done this. Yes, it's sometimes good for us to, you know, feel good about our achievements because we have worked hard, right? We have toiled, we have given time and energy. And so it's wonderful, right, to be proud in a good sense of the word because God has given us the ability to do and to achieve certain things. You know, today's passage is a very interesting passage. But before we get into this passage, you know, I'm not going to ask you this, you know, what is good about our church? Right? What is good about our church that, you know, many of us, you know, still come back? What is good about our church? And I'm not saying, you know, the other churches are bad. They are wonderful, you know, and Christ is still the head of the church. And, you know, when you look at, you know, and sometimes it's easy for us to appreciate another church and say, you know, they are much more better. They always say the grass is greener on the other side. Thank God for their programs. Thank God for the activities. But I believe, you know, every church has wonderful things, things they should thank God for. And so Paul comes into this particular scene and he's talking about the church. You know, when I looked at this particular church, I was asking myself, what is so great about the Thessalonican church, right? What is so great? And Paul says in this particular word, right? Look at the word very carefully. He says, I boast about you. But before that, he said, I thank God about you. In verse 3, he says, I thank God about you. And in the word Paul uses in the Greek text, it's a very interesting word. It's not, you know, sometimes we come to someone and say, no, thank you. But the way Paul uses the word in the Greek text, it means I'm obligated. I have to. In other words, I cannot hold it. I have to because I'm obligated. I'm in debt to you this. If I don't this, I'm wronged. I'm not just saying thank you, Macedonian church, for your Thessalonican church, for your help. But I'm obligated. I have to. If not, it is something totally wrong in me. The way Paul uses, as if, you know, he has taken a loan from someone and he has to pay that. And that's the way Paul is using the word. I was asking myself, you know, Paul says, boast. know, in the Christian circle, we don't boast, we boast in the Lord, right? And so Paul is using it in a very positive way, and he uses the name of God, right? Now, what's so special about this Thessalonian church? And I was trying to see today, when we talk good about a church, what do? We look at the size of the church and we say, wow, that's a big church. That's a huge church with 15,000 people, right? With so many members. But do you know that the size of the Thessalonian church was probably smaller than our church? They did not have a building like us. They were meeting in homes. Right? Today, when we pass by certain church buildings, we say, wow. I remember some years ago, I went to Calgary for a Lions conference. Let me tell you, I was fascinated. For a moment, if you close my eyes and you bring me into that building, I will never say it is a church building. You know why? It looks like a Markville Mall. It was like a mall. There was cafeteria. You know, there were clothing shops. And I told myself, am I in the church? It was so huge. You have everything there in that particular church. It has become a mall. And we marvel at such a building and say, wow, this is the way a church should be. But the Thessalonian church was a small church. They were just meeting in home. They did not have property, my friend. But Paul says, I thank God and I'm obligated to thank God for who you are. And I'm just telling myself, if the Apostle Paul comes and not only visits our church, but stays in our church for a year, will he say, I thank God for NCAC, for the church that is situated in this part of the city. I was looking at, what's so great about the Thessalonian church? Were there miracles or gifts, wonderful signs and wonders happening in the church? In my study, I realized, this church has no record of miracles that were happening in the church. No healings. Or even you don't see, tongues being spoken in that particular church. It was a simple church. But Paul says, I thank God for you. Looking at the activities of the church, today, when you look at some churches, I thank God for these churches because, those activities are wonderful, powerful, right? And sometimes I look at their video clips, I say, wow, so many activities that's happening. But let me tell you, the Thessalonian church did not have much activities. You know why? Because they were living in the midst of persecution. How can you have programs and activities when the city is against you? When the governors are against you? You can't advertise your ministry. You have to be on a low key. And Paul says, I thank God for you. Being a small church, I believe, their budgets were small, right? Their incomes were also small. But Paul says, I am boasting about you. Right? Therefore, among God's churches, we boast. Among other churches in Macedonia, Paul says, you are a small church, but I boast about you. A very powerful language the Apostle Paul is using. And so, my friend, today, it's good to have a wonderful program. It's good to have a great building. If God blesses us with all these things, we thank God for that. At the same time, what is God looking? And if the apostle is with us, will he also write similar words by saying, I thank God for this particular church? A couple of things, I want to look at this particular church. And I think it will be good for us, not only as church, right, all of us, to work towards it, even in our life, in our church ministries. I tell you, God will definitely bless us. The first thing, and I realized, look at the first epistle that Paul writes, right? God's word was at work in their lives. In other words, God's word was at work in their lives. And so Paul says, I boast about you. You know why? It's not your programs, your activities. Because God's word, the word of God, was working in their life. Let's look at the word that Paul is using. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, he says, so also I thank God continually because when you receive the word of God. You know, they did not have word of God in the print media in those days, my friends. Maybe they had a few manuscripts available. It was a more of an oral tradition. They have to just listen to the disciples, and they were scriptures to them. But Paul says, you received the word of God, which you heard from us. You accepted it as not human word, but as actually is the word of God, which is indeed at work in you who believe. In other words, two things he said, you know, you received God's word to be true, that this word is God's word, and God's word is given to us. Even though I spoke, even though Timothy spoke, or other disciples came and spoke to you, you heard it, you received it as God's word. I must say this in my pastoral experience, which I've not experienced in this particular church. Sometimes people call me in my pastoral ministry and they'll say, Pastor, who is preaching next week? And I'll say, so and so. And you don't see some of them coming because they don't want to come because so and so is preaching in that particular Sunday. But the Thessalonian church was a different church. They wanted to hear God's word, whoever brings God's word. That was the church. And not only that, you know, the way Paul uses the word, they did not just receive the word, but indeed God's word was working in their life. In other words, there was application of God's word. They applied God's word into their lives, my friend. It's one thing to receive, hear God's word, but lives transform. And Paul says, I'm boasting about you because not only you receive God's word, but you applied it into your life. In other words, each and every day, the entire church congregation was giving their lives to God's word, applying God's word into their life. I was reading a story and I told this story to my wife. You know, Albert Einstein, do you know him? Wow, Jeffrey's saying yes, yes, good. Definitely many of us have known him, right? By reading about him. He was in a dinner party. Interestingly, there was a young girl that was sitting beside Einstein. And she looked at the, you know, young people, let me tell you, they ask profound questions. She looked at this gray-haired, probably a haggard, looking kind of a scientist sitting beside him. And so she asked him, what are you actually by profession? And Einstein answered, he said, I devote myself to the study of physics. She looked at him, you devote yourself to the study of physics? And she looked at him and said, you mean you study physics at this age? And then she answered by saying, looked at him and said, you know, I finished my physics just a year ago. She thought physics was just a subject, but for Einstein, it was alive. Every day it was physics. He looked at things in the mind, in the lenses of physics, right? He looked everything through physics, my friend. And that is the Thessalonican church. They saw everything through the word of God. Everything through the word of God. Today, we are privileged because we have access to God's word through apps, print media, other medias, right? We have access to so much of God's word. But if Paul is here, he would be proud if God's word is at work in our lives, my friend. And that was happening in the lives of this particular church. Secondly, let's look at their faith. And their faith was flourishing. You know, it's difficult to get such a report from this great apostle because look at Paul's writing, very powerful writing, great man of God. Right? When he looks at this particular church, simple, young believers, you know, he says, you know, I thank God for your faith. And he says, because your faith is growing more and more. You know, the church, as you know, yes, you will say, yeah, the church was growing because, you know, the apostle was there. He was there for a short period of time. If you look at Acts chapter 17, that was how you look at how the church was started. But the church's faith was growing in the midst of persecution. Can you imagine? They were in the midst of a persecution. You know, things were always against them. Their property was seized. History says their property was seized. If you're found to be a Christian, you are stopped from practicing your trades. In other words, they stopped you and no one came to give you business. So it's bad to be a Christian in those days, my friend. But it says their faith was growing. Some were insulted, some were beaten, you know, and many were put to death. They were experiencing, you know, suffering of the worst kind. But what was happening? Their faith was growing. In other words, Paul uses the word interesting. The word Paul uses in the Greek text, it's not just, you know, one person. Almost every person of this particular congregation, you know, their faith was growing. It was not just a general statement that Paul is making, but in the Greek text, it means that each and every person's faith was growing. In other words, they were looking at their life and saying, you know, how am I going to live my life? And I'll look at God's word. In other words, they were applying their faith in their lives, in their families, you know, in their relationship, in their kids. You know, that was the faith. Their faith was there. They were just having confidence and trust in God. I think that's what Paul was so proud of, this particular church, because they were flourishing in their faith. And another one, Paul, you know, was, when I was looking at these two quotes, I thought I'll share this quote, right? It's, you know, there's a Chinese proverb that goes like this: do not be afraid of growing slowly. Be afraid only of standing still. Yes, I'm not saying that within a year our faith should grow, you know, like the Thessalonian church. But I think we need to be making steps, bringing our faith into our lives, into our careers, in every aspect of our life, right? And so that's, if we stand still, what would happen? You know, like George MacDonald says, right, it will decay. And so it's important for us to be growing, constantly applying God's word and loving God. You know, thirdly, you know, I look at this love of this particular church. Interesting love. You know, the last week we also saw about the Thessalonian church, but I thought, you know, it would be good for us to look at this particular text. And Paul uses the word, they were abounding in their faith. In other words, it was a growing love for one another. Interesting word. You know, Paul is very careful when he uses these words. He's not just using the words, you know, just to make these people happy, right? Or so that they will increase their support towards him. Not of that nature. Paul was not a man of that nature. He uses the word abounding. Abounding is, you know, it's an interesting word. It's like a fire. If there is a fire in this building, what happens? It's not going to be fire there alone. It spreads, right? And within an hour or a couple of hours, the entire building is burned down. That is abounding. It is not contained in one particular area. It spreads, my friend, like the flood. It takes everything along with it. And that was the love of this congregation. It was just spreading. It was spreading. Paul speaks about it. You know, in the other passages you read that throughout Macedonia, this church was a blessing. This small congregation was a blessing to the neighborhood church, to cities around that particular area, my friend. It was not a mega church. It was not a huge church with 10,000 members. It was a small, young church. Not only it was its love for its people was growing, but its love for throughout the other churches were also growing. And God was pleased, I believe, and the apostle was so pleased. Can you imagine if that kind of love is found in churches today? In churches today, sometimes our love is just very restricted. Right? It's restricted. True love spreads, my friend. It's not contained in a particular area. It spreads. And that is what the apostle Paul looked and said, you know, I thank God. I'm obligated. I cannot but have to thank God. I've failed in my responsibility if I don't thank God for your love. Because it's a wonderful love. That's what the world needs today. That's what the neighborhood needs today, my friend. That's what our friends and our colleagues needs today. They need to see the love of God. And the Thessalonian church was a powerful reminder. Lastly, let me finish. As we know, you know, the church was not living in an easy time. It was a difficult time, right? And Paul says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, right? And your love for you, which is increasing. And then he says, your endurance in trial. So they were having a lot of problems. Not in the church, but I mean to say the external problems. They were unable to preach the gospel. They were not able to have, you know, small groups because the authorities were always up to them. It was bad to be a Christian in those days, or bad to identify yourself as a Christian. So Paul says, you know, in this particular chapter, he says, therefore, your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials. Can you imagine? It's not one. There were many persecutions and trials that was happening. But they were enduring. They're enduring. You know, I looked at the word very carefully. And it's an interesting way Paul is using that word. It's the kind of word he's using. He's not using it, you know, as if, you know, yeah, persecution is coming. We need to live a life. That's not the kind of attitude. It's like a strong wind was coming against them. And they were just still walking. In other words, nothing can stop us. Persecution was coming. Instead of hiding themselves or even standing still and saying it's okay, they were still striving, my friend. They were just going on. Because they felt it's important for us to live a life for the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they were using every persecution as stepping stone to make inroads into the community, my friend. And that was how they saw the persecution. They saw it as an opportunity to show the love of God, that people know that this Jesus is true, that these people are still loving because there is something so special about this faith, about this Christianity. And so they were using every persecution as a stepping stone to make inroads in the community. And that was the endurance in trial. How wonderful, right, was the church. I can't imagine. The church did not have much facilities, but they were stable in the Lord Jesus Christ and they were growing. You know, it all starts with this. And let me conclude by saying this. I was reading a story about a young Christian man. Maybe I say youth, 14-year-old, right? It's a story that I just read a couple of weeks ago. And so he started a job. It was his first time job. He was so excited. He was helping in a hardware store. I believe some of you have gone to summer school, summer jobs. You're so excited the first day, right? You're working. And you're just, you know, wow, today I work 5 hours, so I should get so much of money, right? And I know I've done it before when I was, you know, in the U.S. with my wife. And so this guy was working. He was so excited in the hardware store. And it was owned by his uncle. And so he was just working. 14-year-old kid. So one day a customer came by. And in those days, you know, the nails are not packed in boxes like today. So the customer came by, he said, you know, I want 2 pounds of nails. So the uncle said, you know, boy, I got something to do. You know, I'm going out. You take care of this customer, bring him inside to the store and give him 2 pounds of nails. So this young lad, you know, 14-year-old, he brought this man and he weighed. In those days, they weigh in such a way, you know, it's exactly 2 pounds. And we came to 2 pounds. The customer said, come on, put another 2 scoops of nails. Then he said, no. He said, no, the other guy was working here before. No, he come, he does it. He said, no, I can't do that. You know, your boss is not here, so don't worry. No, don't worry, just put a few more scoops of nails. Then you will survive in this business, something like that nature. The man said, you know, your boss is not here, don't worry. Then he said, yes, my boss is not here, but my true boss is inside me. My human boss is not here, but my true and only boss, he's in me, and I can't do that. I think I say this story because it all starts from this, my friend. The Thessalonian church saw Jesus not only as their Savior, but as their Lord. It's not a good God alone, but I want Him to be my Lord who leads me. I want Him to be my master in all my decisions. And because of that, what was happening? Their love was abounding. Their faith was growing. Their endurance was there even in the midst of trial. Let me encourage you, each and every moment, pray, Lord, not only I want You to be my Savior, but I want You to be my Lord. My Lord. My boss. Let's pray. Today we marvel at big churches, big buildings, big budgets, big programs, big membership numbers. We thank God for all these things. But our God is a wonderful God. He sees our faithfulness. The Apostle Paul, he said, you know, I'm obligated to thank God for you. You might be small. You might be weak in your numbers. You might have not a building to worship. Maybe there were no programs. But Paul says, I'm obligated because when I see you, I see God's word working in your life. It was evident. I see your faith is flourishing. You're applying your faith in every aspect of your life. Your love was not restricted within or contained within your own community. You saw the world, that the world needs the gospel. And you're willing to see every difficulty as an opportunity to bring God's word. Every trials, every persecution, let's move on. Because God has allowed this for a purpose. Lord, we thank you for this church. We know, Lord, that you are the head of our church too, Father. And I thank you for each and every member that you have given to us. Each and every believer or disciple you have given to us, God. We just thank you. Even our kids, God, who are with us. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for giving us our Chinese congregation, our brothers and sisters. And we thank you, Lord, for all the things. And help us, Lord, to continue to grow in our faith and our love. Whatever happens, God, let us stick on to you. In Jesus' name we pray.